Chaylik on Chanukah, everyone. Da'ala Nisim. We have Da'ala Milchomis. Ala Truais Da'ala Milchomis. If you say it with a vav or without a vav, we're used to asking about the vav of the Da'ala Nisim. But what about the vav of Va'al HaMilchomis? So in the Sefer, in the Pirush Mati Yehuda, he writes as follows. B'chol HaNuschois Kosuv Va'al HaMilchomis B'vav. B'koshe Be'enai. Heich Noisnim Hoido Al HaMilchomis. Va'aloi Ksiv V'cherev Loisavo Ba'al Tzachem. Afilu Cherev Shel Sholoim. Al kein nirali ligrois am al hamilchomois beloy vov. Vorot salomar, shenosnim hoido al hatishua shenasa al hamilchomois. So in other words, the chuois is the hoido. What chuois? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu save us from? From the ravages of the Muhammad. So his problem is that you can't be moida on the Mochamis. It's much better not to have them. Well, my argues, at least the gears of most of us, is vi'al ha-Mochamis. So we probably mean vi'al ha-Mochamis that we want. But I'd like to suggest something a little bit different. You know, we have in the Rambam's Loshen, in the beginning of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Megillah of Chanukah, he tells us the story of Chanukah. And the impression that a person would get from that Rambam is that the Yevonim were terrible people, these Syrian mercenaries. And the Rambam describes Bitul Hadas, Heitzar Lahem Yoid, Poshtu Yodom, in other words, the picture that's being painted is that the Yevonim were ravaging the countryside. They were ravishing the women. They were destroying. They'd made pirtzis in the heichal. And it's just an enemy at the gates. There's nowhere in the Rambam any sense that the Greek language, Greek culture, the Greek philosophy, the Greek arts, the gymnasium, there's no remez that this was making any inroads, that there was actually a hashpa, that there were misyavnin. I don't know how the Rambam read v'zeidim bi'ad oiske sorasecha, but we know that there are many mefarshim who say that zeidim meant Jewish zeidim. Zeidim helitzuni ad mioid mitoroscho loy notisi. You don't get that sense from the Rambam. But if you amalgamate the Rambam together with the history and the knowledge that we have, the evidence at hand, of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of words that are in Greek, in Chazal, and the tremendous number of Mari Mokim, of the various kinds of Hashpa, and then just reading the history itself, you get a much more varied understanding of what the danger was. We had a mispalel in our shul by the name of Reb Dov Gendelman, Zichrono Livracha. He was a social worker. It came time in that place where he worked, some nursing home or something like that, and most of the staff was not Jewish, and they had a party for their chaga, and they invited him to come to the party. Of course, he refused. And when his boss, when she asked him, why don't you come and join us? After all, we're all together here. We're all friends. He says, well, it's not my party because it's not my religion. It happened that Hanukkah was right after that day, and he made himself a Hanukkah party, and he invited all of them. So the boss came to him and says, this is the height of chutzpah. You're one, maybe there's two or three other Jews working here, and there's dozens of us. You don't come to our party, and you expect us to come to yours. And he said, yes, it makes perfect sense. And she says, I don't see how. And he says, well, let me explain it to you. What would it be like for us if there was no Christmas? Be much better. There wouldn't be any pogroms, there wouldn't be any shmad, there wouldn't be any crusades. I think all in all, we would be doing much better. For us, this is no holiday to celebrate. There is no joy for us, nor is there peace on earth and goodwill for men. On the other hand, what would happen to you if there was no Hanukkah? There would be no Christianity. So you have to come to my party. And of course, what he was saying was very poshut. There was a tremendous sakana. The Rebbeinu Shlom makes a promise. It's true. But the evidence before them, what they saw in front of their eyes, was this incredible amount of assimilation to a regnant culture which was powerful, which was impressive, which was taking the world by storm. I always like to quote the expression of a Roman poet and essayist by the name of Horace. In case you're interested in the Marim Mokom, it's his epistles, Chelek Bey, Siman Aleph. I think maybe line 156, but it's been a long time. Abba Lamaisa, he says, Graikia kapta ferum victorem capit. You know what that means? It means that captured Greece, Rome was totally in control by that time. Rome was the authority and the power, and all the aqueducts were theirs. But culture? Nothing. Gornisht. Culture was Greece. And what he was saying was that basically they were a bunch of farmers until the Greek culture came along. And how did the Greek culture come along? Because when they conquered Greece, they took with them all that Greece had to offer. All the beauty and all the aesthetics and all the music and all the science and all the art. Everything that was the poetry, the Sophocles and Euripides, Aeschylus, they took with them Homer. They took their pantheon. And with that, Greece actually, although it was captured, conquered Rome. And that's what he was saying. Graecia capta, the captured Greece, a fierce conqueror, ferum victorem capit, captured them. And it didn't stop there, wherever they went. The Greek language, look at Chazal about the Greek language. And there were so many people that were so impressed and so overwhelmed. So this is what I think. Had there not been that component that the Seleucid Greeks were trying to conquer the territory, had there not been all the things that the Rambam mentioned, had there not been an enemy at the gate, then it's very, very possible that the Hashpah, benign and impressive as it was, would there not have been a Muhammad, would have so severely impacted on Klal Yisrael and on Derech Yisrael Sava that perhaps it would reach the point of no return. And therefore, I believe that it would be fair to say that we have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for the Milchamos. And maybe that's why we are entitled to say the Al HaMilchamos in the Al HaNisim. Were it not for those Milchamos, were it not for the fact that we had to stand up for what we believed in against an enemy who had soldiers and elephants, then maybe, because Pirtzais, are much worse than Churban. There's no Beis HaMikdash, then you know what you're up against, and you say, Tein li Yavne v'chachamecha. When there are Pirtzais, you still could think that you have a Beis HaMikdash. But it's no longer the Beis HaMikdash of Derech Yisrael Sava. It's very interesting. There's a lot of tumult lately about a lot of things. You know, to paraphrase someone else, I come here not to bury anyone. But I want you to know, we have a frustration with Golus. We have a despair of not having a Sanhedrin, of not having Melech HaMashiach, because that brings clarity. That brings an understanding. We know which way to go. Nobody wants to live in a vacuum, and no one wants to reject the culture around him, because that alienates you and makes you feel that you don't belong. And everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants that the Golus should come to an end. And therefore, there's a tendency for many people to feel that whatever it is that doesn't seem to be antagonistic to the Shulchan Aruch, to overt Chazal, should be welcomed if it's part of that culture that we are in, what we can claim for our own, whatever we can get, makes us feel that we belong, that we're part of a vision of the future that is shared by mankind itself, and that we are not the narrow, parochial, segregated and separated Ma'at Mikola Amim Eden that have always been abused and have always been ghettoized. It's instinct. The Jew doesn't want to be like that. And there are many Jews who cannot any longer feel comfortable with the appellation Am HaNivchar. There are not many Jews that can be so totally comfortable with the Kiloy Darcheichem Drochay Machshavoyseichem Machshavoyisai. There aren't that many Jews today that are able to say, are you joking? Because the Sicha B'Teila Shelohem seems so impressive. It seems to be the way of the future. It seems to be so humanistic. It seems to be so friendly. Why should you separate yourself from a culture that has provided so much science and medicine and so much art and literature if you can co-opt it and consider it your own, even at the same time being a righteous and religious Jew? And you know what happens is that we begin to lose the Knei Mida of what it means to be a Jew and how to think as a Jew. You know, it's a remarkable thing. When I was a child, an infant basically, a little boy, I was a year old, we were in Prague and we were in the Dalet Amos of one of the Gedolei Hador of that time. His name was Reb Mordechai Pogromansky, Reb Motel Pogromansky, Zichrono Livracha. He didn't live long enough. He got sick and he died before he becomes the Shem Dover of the whole world. But he was probably the Gadol Hador. He had an incredible mind, and he was a tzaddik yesod olam. Ironically, even though he was already in Belgium, he went back to Kovna, and he was in the Kovna ghetto during the war, survived miraculously. He was the Eloi of Telz. When he came to Telz, just to give you a small example, when he came to Telz, he had started learning late. He went to college before he started learning. I mean, may something like that. There was no college then, high school, but he was a tremendous genius. He devoured all of literature. He was a tremendous cop. Anyhow, Rabbi Eliezer Lapian apparently was the one who influenced him at first, and he went to Kelm for a short while, and then he went to Telz. When he arrived in Telz, in a matter of a few weeks, he became the darling of the Rebbeim because he was such a genius, and such a masmid, and such a tzaddik. And some of the boys were a little jealous of him. They found his Achilles heel. He didn't know Maseches Yevamos. He had never learned it. And they started asking him questions and showing him up this Tosfos and that Tosfos. And he decided that he had enough. So for 2 days, he sequestered himself, learned Maseches Yevamos, Gemara Rashi, and Tosfos, and then went back to them. Now you're talking about that kind of a mind. His tzidkus was unbelievable. He would not sit on a seat in the train unless he was guaranteed it didn't have shatnas. My father, Zichron al-Bracha, told me that my mother, whom I didn't know, but she was taken from us when I was a little boy, but for that little time that I was still an infant and my mother was then killed in an accident after surviving the years in the Vilna ghetto, most incredible thing. But he used to trust her only to cook the meals that he provided to her, the food and the pot. But still, he only trusted her to cook the food. It's tzaddik yisoid olam mamish. So they once asked Reb Mordechai Pogromansky for what we call today Das Torah. And he gave a mashal. He said, why is it that the Rambam talks about, in Perek Beis, of Hilchos Yisoid HaTorah, Avas Hashem, and he describes Avas Hashem b'shoshim as bein and adam, but ma'isav bruv haniflayim v'yirim em chokhmasa shein le'ach lo'ikates. Right? Mi'yadu m'shabeach u'mefoyev m'savet ha'iv ha'gdoil ha'leida as Hashem ha'godol. And he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, tzoma nafshli lo'kim. So you look at the Bria, and you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, and it brings you tremendously close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas in the Sefer HaMitzvahs he asked, the Rambam quotes the Sifri, and the Sifri, based on the connection of the Psukim, how do you come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Limud HaTorah. So which is it? Is it Limud HaTorah, or is it Mizbeinin B'mais of Ubruv HaNifloyim? And he gave a marshal, he said, in the museum, somebody went to visit, and he looked at all the paintings, and he comes out, and everybody asked him, so are you impressed? He says, impressed? There's nothing there. A bunch of dots and speckles and a little bit of light, a little bit of dark. I saw absolutely nothing that's of any value whatsoever. And that's not the answer of Rav Chaim Nachman Bialik. Rav Chaim Nachman Bialik came back and he said, what did you see in the Louvre? He wasn't writing about it. He says, what's there to write? It's all either one of three things. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, or Shfichas Damim. But that was not what he said. That he was giving a mashal. So he says, they ask him, how could you say something like that? Didn't you see the Renoir? Didn't you see the Matisse? Didn't you see the Picasso? What's the matter with you? He says, I saw them all, but they're all a bunch of speckles and dots and spots and a little bit of light and a little bit of dark. Then finally someone discovered what the problem was. His glasses were very dirty. So that's what Reb Motl Pogromansky said. He said, if you don't have glasses that can see clearly through that fog, if your glasses are full of schmutz, then all the paintings in the world will appear to be dirty and ugly. Mizbeinim b'maisav ubruv haniflayim v'yeremem chokhmasoi chokhmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'en la'erf lo'kates. What do you see? Do you see chokhmas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does the person who's a scientist automatically love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because he doesn't have the glasses, and the glasses that he has are dirty. They're full of speckles and dust. But if he would clean his glasses, how do you clean your glasses? That's the Sifri in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So someone once asked him for Das Torah. And he says, I cannot tell you that I have Das Torah. That Tzadik Yisoid Olam Nukol HaTorah Kula Nigla Nister. I kid you not. So what's missing? What's the problem? So he says, because I read so much and I remember so much of that, I can never guarantee for sure that my analysis, that my interpretation of your situation is based ach v'rak on Torah Hashem Tamim HaMeshivas Nafesh.
go to the Birkat Shmuel, go to Reb Baruch Ber. Problem that we have today, and you find it in so many different ways. I once said many, many years ago that I heard on the radio a report at that time, there was a shaila, whether the New York State Senate would vote for supporting financially the abortion clinics. This is a long time ago. Today it's a chum, you know. Today they're on to bigger and better things. But at that time, that was the issue. So there was a person of Jewish descent whose constituency was upstate, and they were all conservatives, and they were dead against it. And the reporter was asking him, because apparently he was a critical vote, maybe the vote that made, you know, was 50-50, and he would be the machria. So they asked him, so how are you going to vote? So he says, most likely I'll never be reelected, but I have to vote my conscience. Because how could I not vote pro when tonight is the Seder, the festival of freedom? And I was thinking to myself at the time when I was listening to this on the radio, that this person thinks that he's thinking very Jewish thoughts. Because Pesach is me'avdus l'cheiros. Pesach is the day when you can express yourself. So Pesach must also be the holiday when you are free to identify with whatever it is, and you are the balabas over your own body, and no one's going to tell you what to do, and no one's going to enslave you in your home with a lot of babies if you want to go out into the marketplace and become the doctor, the lawyer, or the Indian chief that you want to become. And this is all Yadus. Of course he had no shaykhus. I'm sure he never went to yeshiva a day in his life, and I'm sure that he was reformed. But it doesn't matter. The point is that his perspective was, this is the Jewish way. This is the Jewish way of thinking. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Klal Yisrael by Har HaKarmel, and he asks them a question which is so strange. Why do you have these two attitudes, these two values? If you're for Hashem, then luchu acharav, imabal, okay. What do you mean imabal, okay? It's okay? Avodah Zorah is okay? But the answer is, if they choose Avodah Zorah, they write themselves off. But if they go with Hashem and Avodah Zorah, that syncretic kind of combination is creating a different religion. It's creating a religion where they don't know where their hashkafa is coming from. Does it come from Hashem or does it come from Baal? And that was the tain of Elio. Of course Avodah Zorah is terrible, but once you opt for Avodah Zorah, you're out. But you're not rewriting Yiddishkeit. You're not determining that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You're not saying that if it's not Osir Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch, because that's how you read the Shulchan Aruch, then it's certainly mutter, and if it's mutter, it's advisable, and if it's advisable, it's good, and if it's good, it's the thing to do. Because the wave of the future is the way the whole world thinks. Because if they're so matzliach and everything else, then obviously their attitudes, their hashkafas, their morality, their ethic, their liberalism has to be good too. Because this is what the world has developed into. This is the havana and the understanding. And if everybody was liberal, it wouldn't have any milchamas. And if everybody was nice to each other, and no ama nifchar, and no segregating yourself and saying that you're superior or better than anybody else. And certainly men and women should have the shivyon sukhuyos. Women are capable, they're as understanding and as intelligent, and you shouldn't put them down, and you shouldn't sequester them. You shouldn't put them in a box and say, you can't do this and you can't do that. That's not the way of the future, that's ancient history. That's when they were controlling women. But now women have come out and they're able to stand on their own two feet. You have to embrace that, as long as it's not against the Shulchan Aruch. And this is really the Nisyavnim coming into the Pirtzeis of the Beis HaMikdash, coming into the Beis HaMikdash and letting the Beis HaMikdash remain a Beis HaMikdash. But now it's a Greek Beis HaMikdash. It's not a Greek temple. It's not the Parthenon. It's the Greek Beis HaMikdash. But the Greek Beis HaMikdash is a much bigger sakana than the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because then you know where you stand. The Yevonim Nikbitzu Alai, the Zaydim Halitzuni Ad Miyoid, is a tremendous sakana for Klal Yisrael. And the miracle is that there were a few that were willing to withstand it, and say, no, 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 you're not thinking Torah thoughts. That you have to go to the Birkat Shmuel. Because you don't know anymore what is a Torah thought. Because the hashpah, the air, you've been inspired. You've been inspired. Your enthusiasm, where does it come from? You know, the word enthusiasm, while we're at it already, why not? Comes from two Greek words. Enthus. Theos. You are infused with godliness. That's what enthusiasm is. Theos. Entheos. When you're enthusiastic, you have Ruach Hashem, boy. So does a person have Ruach Hashem? Or does he have the Ruach of the street? That's the question. And I don't think anyone can answer that question. Because we don't have Melech HaMashiach. We don't have the Sanhedrin. We don't have a Navi. Who's going to tell you that this is the right way to go? When you start making changes and transformations, it's not women rabbis. It's long before women rabbis. When I was in Seattle once speaking for the Kollel at a dinner, they asked me also to speak in the high school there. I gave a shiur to the boys, and I gave a talk to the girls. And what I chose for the girls was to talk to them about Rachel Eishes Rabbi Akiva. And I, believe me, I did a very good job. And a girl came over to me afterwards, probably high school senior. Subsequently, I found out that she became a poseket. And she comes over to me and she says, we don't want to hear about B'zeh HaLashon. B'zeh HaLashon. We don't want to hear about Rachel, the wife of Rabbi Akiva. We want to hear about Bruria, the wife of Reb Meir. I didn't have that much to say about Bruria Eishes Reb Meir, and she would have told me in advance. I don't know that I would have spoken about Bruria, the wife of Reb Meir. There's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah, but I don't think she wanted to hear that Rashi about Bruria. No, but seriously speaking, Rabbi Isai, do you know that Rachel Eishes Rabbi Akiva is single-handedly responsible for the Masorah that we have today? That's not good enough. That the women did not participate in Chet HaEgel, which is incredible, is not good enough. That Noshim B'mai Zachyon, because they wait, is not good enough. That women did not participate in the Chet HaMeraglim is not good enough. No, they have to be like the men. It's Pilei Ploim. It really is. Because Rachel Eishes Rabbi Akiva, you know what she did? She went against her father, which means a father and a mother. She went against the whole of the society around her. She was the richest and most perfect shidduch at that time. She was the number one shidduch of that time. And Kalba Savoy is a tzaddik, and he provides all the poor people, Nichnosim Kekelev and Yoitzim Seveyim, Kalba Savua, a tzaddik ayid, a tremendous Baal Tztoka. He has the pick of every bacher in every yeshiva. He could have had any gadol. And she comes and she says, no, this is what I want. That's not good enough. Talk about Bruria. That she eloped. They eloped and they lived in a hayloft. That's not good enough. That she's waiting all those years for Rabbi Akiva to become the Gadol Ador, who's nichnas b'shalom v'yotza b'shalom. That's not good enough. And if you want to know my personal opinion, although this is, there's no corroboration from this, and I never saw it in any sefer, it's just an idea, a feeling. Rabbi Akiva comes out with his colleagues, the greatest of the great, and they see the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and they arrive at the Mokum of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and out comes a Shuol. Shuol Yoitzim Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos, which every single one of you knows. And he starts to laugh. And Rabbi Akiva, Bishvul Ma Atom Metzachik, he asks them, Bishvul Ma Atem Boichim, we shouldn't cry. That makom the kohen gadol shu'olim hilchuvo, we shouldn't cry bishvil zani mitzachek. What's going on over here? They didn't believe in the psukim that he quoted afterwards. They don't believe that there's going to be a geula, that there'll be Mashiach, that they'll rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. What is a shail of emuna? There was a machloikas about emuna here. So what's the machloikas? The teretz is they see churban, they cry for churban. Well, there'll be the geula. They will smile and laugh together with Rabbi Akiva. But now is churban. And Rabbi Akiva doesn't know about time. Rabbi Akiva sees the Kohen Gadol. There's a hologram there. When Rabbi Akiva looks at the shul, he sees the shul morph, transform into the Kohen Gadol in front of his eyes. And that's why he laughs, because it's a strange sight. You know why he had the ability to see the future as today? Because so did she. So did she. Because she saw Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that he was tsanua umali, two little words, and she sees the next Gadol Hador, and that's the one I want, a shepherd, an illiterate shepherd. So that's not good enough. Strongest woman that you ever met, but it's not good enough. You know why it's not good enough? Because she's not learning herself, because she's not in it for what's her own godless, her own avoda, her own aliyah libetaira. That's why it's not good enough. So where did that idea come from? From which chazal? From which rav? From which tzaddik? From which gom? From what century? Where did that idea come from? That's not good enough. Where did it come from? That's Admas Hashem Poiskim Shtei Asibin. That was what Eliyahu HaNavi was talking about. That is this question of how pure is your das if it's tainted by ideas and you don't even know where those ideas came from. That comes from a feeling that there's Torah plus, and the plus is valuable and important, and I am willing to ignore the intuition of my Masorah. So you start talking to people about Masorah. You say, what do you mean Masorah? How do you know it's a Masorah? I mean, women, we're not empowered, so there's no Masorah. And Masorah is women were empowered, and then you see that they were not allowed anyhow. But if they weren't empowered, then there is no Masorah. You know, that's good for a circus. That's what it's good for. You know, it's Greek, for Greek rhetoric, a class in Greek rhetoric, it's very good. Tadreta kop. You don't have any evidence that this has anything to do with Yiddishkeit, and you push and push and push because it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know what's not in the Shulchan Aruch? Ne'er Chanukah Yishu Beisai. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Mahadrin, not in the Shulchan Aruch. You open up the Shulchan Aruch, you see Hilchus Chanukah recently? You open up Shulchan Aruch, Hilchus Chanukah, what is it? Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. That's how it starts. If you wouldn't know that there's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, you would never imagine that there's any other din of Chanukah than Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. And you know why? Because that was the minig aposhet b'chol areinu b'sfarad. To such an extent that the rest is irrelevant. It doesn't matter what it says in the Gemara. About the Gevis, if you'll ask the Mechaber, what happens if you don't have? So he'll say, of course, light a candle, as I state in the Gemara. The Beis Yosef was fully familiar with the Gemara. He quotes the Gemara. He knows the Gemara as well as you and I. But when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch is minuk pasha b'chol areinu b'sfarad. It's only that, just the minuk. Because what is the difference? Now this is the minuk. This is Klal Yisrael talking. And that's why the Milchamas were so important, because if it wouldn't be for those Milchamas, we would have lost. We would have lost. We would have slipped, we would have fallen, we never would have gotten up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Milchamas. You know, those Greeks, they're not such good guys after all. All that philosophy and all that art and all that culture, what does it boil down to, says the Rambam? Pashtu yadam b'mamonam u'bibnoseyam, a bunch of gazlonim and rapists. So now you have a Milchama, and the Milchama is to fight for your life. When you fight for your life, you realize that there's us and them all over again. Nothing's changed. You know, it's very interesting. There's a Rambam Hilchos Yisurei Bia that many people quote. I'm not quoting that Rambam. There's a Rambam Hilchos Ishus that many people quote, a different Rambam, about how often a woman is supposed to go out of the house. I'm not going to quote that Rambam. But there's another Rambam. And it's very interesting. We don't even know for sure where the Makar for this Rambam is. Magid Mishnah says, Gemara Megillah, this and that, or whatever. It's a very beautiful Rambam. The Rambam tells husband and wife what their obligations are in terms of their personal relationship to one another. We're not talking about Sher Ksus Va'ona here. We're talking about the personal interaction, their relationship in Midos, in attitude. And the Rambam is at the end of the 15th Perek. I always recommend that the Chosson should learn his Rambam and the Kala should learn her Rambam. I remember once, after recommending it to them, and I printed it out for them and I gave each one, I said, this is a recipe for Shalom Bayis. And 6 weeks after they got married, she comes and she says, he doesn't keep his Rambam. So I said, how do you know his Rambam? But this is the Rambam. The Rambam says, beautiful. Now listen to the other side. And you'll notice that there is no symmetry here whatsoever. And I would like to suggest a revision of this Rambam to make it more up to date. The Rambam next says, what about the wife? What's her obligation? How should she feel about her husband? She distances kol sheyisna, everything that he hates. Now this is totally ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, are you kidding? He should be in her eyes like a saroy melech. We're going to rewrite this. What's wrong? That is the Jewish princess. So how is it possible that the Rambam could write something like this? I mean, it's so not symmetrical. It's so unfair. It's so unreasonable. What do you mean? And he's talking about Rachel Eshet Rabbi Akiva and Bruya, the wife of Reb Meir. And he's talking about all of the women that were Moshe Nefesh. And he's talking about Chana B'Shiva Zvoneah. And he's talking about Sora Megayeres Es Hanoshim, not Es Ha'anoshim. And he's talking about all the Benos Yisrael, Hatznuel, Svak Sherus, and all the generations. You have to deserve it. You have to. You know what happens when she looks at him as a Sara Melech? He becomes a Sara Melech. But I don't have to justify this Rambam. I don't have to prove the Rambam. I don't have to suggest that the Rambam has to be changed because it's out of date. I have to ask myself, why does anyone feel that this Rambam is out of date? When this is our Masorah, and this is our authority for so many other halachas, why is it no longer our authority for this? And that is really the Shaila. So the Teretz is, as I told you, there's all kinds of attempts to bring Mashiach now. I'm not going off on a tangent. What I mean to say is, there's a desperation to end Golos and end confusion and end all of the distress of the stira, of the conflict, of the tremendous difficulty of managing a world that goes in a certain direction. And if you have any havaminis that it's not affecting you, make no mistake about it, it affects every single one of us. You know, I was thinking to myself, a person watches a sitcom. A person watches a sitcom. He wants to relax. He wants to be able to have a few minutes free and just let his mind drift. So he turns on the television and it's something really stupid going on, and he just lets his mind drift. That's what he does. Now, what is happening in that sitcom? Somebody is having to do with somebody else's wife. And it's very funny, whatever the reason that it's funny. Somebody else's wife. Now, a person's sitting there, and he knows it's not him, and it's not his family, and it's not real. It's all make-believe. It's all Hollywood. It's all actors and actresses. But why isn't it making you sick? That doesn't make anybody sick. Doesn't make anybody sick. Reb Chaim Kanievsky will be sick, but he doesn't look at the sitcom. But why isn't it making us sick? Because that's the world today? No. But Eishes Ish. Why isn't the Isser of Eishes Ish, the tremendous Churban of Eishes Ish? That there's a parsha of Arayah, says Rashi, even from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyah. The Chatosi Lelokim, you're watching the imagery of the Chatosi Lelokim, act or not an act. But what makes it so enjoyable? What makes it so funny? What makes it so possible to sit there and let your mind drift? And the Chaheno, I don't have to begin to tell you. A boy takes a girl out on a date, they go to a movie. It's not rated X. What are you seeing in that movie? 1,000 things that are totally against Derech Yisrael Sava. Yeah, but it's not me. It's not our Hashkafa. But how come you're not vomiting? Because the Teretz says you don't vomit anymore. They have their way and we have our way. They have their Hashkafas, we have our Hashkafas. And once that happens, then you can have a woman rabbi. There's no problem. Because if you're not infused with a Derech Yisrael Sava Havana of what Yiddishkeit really demands of you, you know the Rambam, I'm going to finish with this. The Rambam at the end of Hilchis Tshuva, Perik Yud, speaks about the level of Avoda Me'ava. Oved Es Hashem Me'ava. And he describes something that is extreme, very extreme. The Rambam says, if a person is Oved Me'ava, he's obsessed. There's no other word. He's obsessed. That's all he can think about is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam says, Kol Shir Ashirim U Moshel Hu LeInyan Zeh. You all know that, Rambam. Kol Shir Ashirim Moshel Hu LeInyan Zeh. So open up a Shir Ashirim, you'll see what's going on over there. And that's all the Moshel of how a Jew is supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so those are very big Baalei Madrega. That's the extreme. That's something that's a dream. That's something that Yechidei Skula can aspire for, perhaps. But what does it have to do with us? No, Adarabba. Tell me one Jew who has b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyodecha, as the Rambam describes it in Perek Yud of Hilchos Teshuva, and tell me how he feels about all of these things, and whether he could be soivel or whether he would vomit. Now the Teretz is, we've lost our way, Rabbi say. We've lost our way. We are eroded, and we don't even realize that we're eroded, because we want menucha, and the world is what it is, and we don't want to fight so much, and we want to fight so often, and we don't want to push so hard. Genug shein, Ribbono Shel Olam. It's time for Mashiach to come. So Mashiach comes by recreating Yiddishkeit. No different than Mashiach comes when he doesn't come, and you say that he came. Note, you know, the pasuk says, "Im yismameya chakelo." That's where we get the expression, "Vafo pishay yismameya im kolzeh chakelo." Im yismameya chakelo. You know what chakelo means? Stick to your derech Yisrael sava and have the patience to ride out the storm. Don't adapt and accommodate the storm. Don't want so badly not to have all of these nisyonos and not to have by giving in. Don't make it a paiseach ashtei ha'se'ipim. It's amazing. All the culture was in Germany. It was Al HaMilchamas. Once they started wiping us out, that culture is gone. That's not going to have any roshim on us. All the science was in Germany. If you wanted to open up a textbook at the time, you had to read it in German. Then it was Russian. And the Russian culture, Russian attitudes, they're not interesting to us. It's America now. The West. Rabbi say, that's what Hanukkah is all about. Allah Muhammad saved us. Saved us. Because otherwise, ferum victorum capit. Otherwise we would have been captured just like the Romans were captured. And we wouldn't know whether we're coming or going, and the Misyavnim would have said, this is the true Yiddishkeit. And this is the way of the future, and we have arrived, and it's Yemos HaMashiach. We should be zoichet to the ultimate geula, and until then, until Chasoiv Zerah Kodshuch V'Koyev Keitz HaYeshua, we have to remember Yevonim Nikbitzu Alai. Not just then, but by Yomim Mahim Bazman Hazeh. As we are davening, Kein Tassalom Nissen the Flaws, Bevias Goyel Tzedek B'Mehel Av Yomeinu Amen.